Awesome. Well, good morning once again. If I happened to miss you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC, and this month we're in a conversation about faith and those steps that we take where we believe God and we believe that He is our Messiah. And what does it mean to get to the points where we sing the words that we're singing and then the steps of faith in our actions in our life? And we've talked about trusting Him through hard times and what it means to be encouraged, and even through giving and other steps of faith. And last week we talked about prayer, which we will continue today. And understanding that, you know, everything that we do in believing God starts at faith, in believing in Him. And so we've been walking through different passages from Hebrews 10, 11, and 12, where it just really hits at the heart of this. And a key verse for us has been a Hebrews 11, 1, where it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And we proclaim today that we have this confident hope in the living God who has come before us. And we sing praise the King to Christ. Why is that? It was because for us, everything starts with Christ, with Jesus, where He came to us, God the Son, and His death and His resurrection proves for us that He is the Son of God, that God exists, and that He is real. And so everything for us starts with His resurrection. And if you're pursuing God, we hope that this is a safe place for you to come and ask your questions of God. That is the place and where we start, and asking our questions of Him. When Christ came, that's what happened. People came and they listened to Him and they asked their questions of Him. And eventually that led to these great steps of faith. And so at His resurrection, a culture changed overnight. Never happened before in history, in this belief in who Jesus was. And so when we believe Him and we follow Him and we take steps of faith, it's coming from that first foundation. And then it goes on to say this in Hebrews 11:3, where it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And so for us, everything is starting with the fact that, hey, everything we see today came out of what didn't exist. And that's the unbelievable word of God. And so we're honestly all stepping out in that faith. And that's the foundation we stand upon. And so as Christ followers, our lives are marked with this, with these steps of faith and really steps of obedience. And seeing what Christ has, you know, asked us to do and the things that we do is really obedience is faith. And, you know, we're like, well, where do I start? You start with steps towards Him. And so in these steps of obedience, we are acknowledging that God is God. We say, "You exist and You are the Lord of my life." And that is the beginning of that relationship. That's the beginning of really engaging with Him. And so in faith, we believe and confess that Jesus is God, the Lord of our lives. In faith, we are baptized in obedience to what Jesus commanded us to do. We take that step of baptism. In faith, we make a plan to give financially. It's one of the places where we learn to trust Him. We engage in faith in community with one another, and as God has asked us to do, to be with one another. It's we love to gather on Sundays just like this together, and then in other ways in community during the week. It's part of how God has made us to be and how we live lives of purpose. In faith, we reconcile with one another. We have disagreements because if you're going to be in community with one another, you know, that happens. And so that's part of Scripture. And so we commit to that with one another. And man, does our world need to know how to do that. And so that's not easy to do. Well, that's part of our commitment to one another. And God has been the example of all of this. And Jesus has done every one of these things. And so we follow His example. In faith, we accept the grace and the forgiveness of Christ, where we go to Him in our weakness. We learn to confess. And then we learn to stand upon His righteousness and His grace, forgiven. And it's how we learn to forgive others, because we have been forgiven. We stand on His righteousness, not our own. We trust his goodness. Because of the cross, we looked at what he did for us, the suffering that he endured, and we know that we can trust him, even when life doesn't make sense and when it is hard. What he has done helps us to know that we can trust him. And so that's what we do. But that isn't always easy. And so when life is hard, we need to be encouraged and reminded of his goodness. And that's what we see in Hebrews and what we started with in this series, where it was encouraging them to not give up in their faith because it produces fruit and there is a great joy ahead of us. And so in Hebrews 10:23, it says this. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we professed, for he who promised is faithful." And this is a great proclamation that we stand upon, that we don't, and our hearts sometimes want to betray us, but we want to hear these words of great hope. Let us hold on to this hope that we profess unswervingly, because we know that he who promised is faithful. It goes on to say this, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance." And the writer was writing to those who were going through great suffering because of their faith. They are being imprisoned. They are losing their possessions. There was a lot of things happening. It was like, you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And we have this great hope in this living God, where we will one day be fully restored and redeemed, is a core part of our faith. So no matter what happens in our circumstances of life, we always have hope. And so then it goes on in Hebrews 12 to say this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all who have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Well, how do we do that? We look to Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of faith. And then it shows us here, he was the example. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so he is our example, and this is what leads us to joy. And so faith is trusting that he is leading us towards a purpose, and we have this great race that's marked out for us, these lives to live that are full of purpose, no matter the circumstances. And we need this. And one of my goals, and I started the series, I talked about this year, is to pour into you and pray for you and help you and I both together to experience this, because we live in a world that is a little bit more unstable. It feels that way than it used to be. But, you know, this writer was writing to a world that was, I would say, more unstable than what we experience now. And I want to lead you to get a foundation of hope in Christ that will always be there, no matter what the circumstances you hoped would happen, whether it's politically. I don't think, you know, we look to, it's election year, presidential election year, and people have hopes in many kinds of different ways. But I don't know if you've noticed over the past 8 years or so, that doesn't work out for everybody. And there, our lives are microcosms of that. There's different things that you and I will put our hope in, and outside of Christ, eventually it will fall in some way. And so we need to be reminded of the one who is faithful, the one who is there and will be there always. And that is Christ. And so Christ stepped in, and he suffered, and he endured shame for the joy that would be ahead. And then it ends, this first phrase in Hebrews 12 ends with this. And this is a key thing for us today. It says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And this is such a great statement. Hebrews 12:3. When you are struggling. When you do lose heart, because it's writing to those who are experiencing that. How do we do that? We focus and we consider the one, Christ, who experienced all of these things in a greater way than you and I could ever imagine. And when we learn to consider him, we won't lose heart. And so that is where we want to kind of land on together today. And so much of that, it ultimately comes to prayer. And you hear about prayer, and we introduced this last week, where I showed a bunch of memes that we just kind of typically engage with prayer, and we have all these ideas of what that could be. And so, when it comes to prayer, it's typically about what we think about prayer as of what we're going to get, what I need. And so, I don't know if you thought about this, maybe in our dinner groups this week, but what do you pray for? How about relationships? I'm sure that's one thing that I look back on my life. I am now married. It took a while for me to eventually get there, but I remember praying for certain relationships, specific people that I was really, really, really hoping to be in a relationship with. And so I prayed a lot. I was a Christ follower during those times, and I'd be like, God, there's this great girl, and I just pray, I was really hoping. And I just want to tell you right now, that happened many times. And I am so thankful on this side of things that those prayers were not answered. How many times have you experienced that? Like, you really want something emotionally, and then later on you look back, and you're like, man, what was I thinking? How did I not see in all those different things? Have you ever prayed for specific people, relationships? Have you ever been sitting in traffic and just prayed for it to move, Or it's like you're late for something, or you're just on a trip or vacation, and you're so annoyed, and you're ready for God to move heaven and earth to miraculously change whatever insanity is going on ahead. Maybe a train to work. You're cutting it close, and then it stops in the tunnel. And I hope that didn't happen this week, because it's so hot right now, and then the AC kicks off, You're praying for the train to move. Maybe you're praying for a job or school or something to work out. Or maybe you had a late night out and you have done some things of regret and you are praying for some miracles to happen over what you have done or how much you have drank or regretful decisions. Everyone prays. Every one of us prays. And we send out silly prayers and we send out deep, meaningful prayers. And so last week, I addressed that in just a quick recap. Now, what is prayer? We assume prayer is about my needs. But prayer is multifaceted. And I think I have this out of order in the slides, but prayer is part of our design. It was how you and I were made to be. And like I said, everyone prays. Even if you are an atheist, it has been proven through lots of research that if you ever get into a life-threatening situation, you will pray every single time. And people have talked about this, like God, I'm not sure it exists, but just in case you do, please help me right now. Those are prayers that actually go up. It's in us. It is part of our desires. But prayer is designed to give God glory, and that is how you are made to give him glory. And when you do, it shows that he exists and that he loves us, and you experience that. But it's part of us is to give him glory. It is also about others. We pray for others. God has given that to us. It's part of how he's made us to interact with one another. It's how we love one another. We pray for others. Prayer is, yes, personal. It is personal. And within personal, it is formative. There's a place in prayer for confession. There is a place to receive and to give forgiveness. There is a place for us to grow. Prayer helps you grow personally. It helps reveal things that God is wanting you to see. Prayer draws us closer to God, and it is a struggle. Prayer can absolutely and will be a struggle. Even Jesus, we saw him wrestling and struggling with God through his own personal prayers. And so that is the formative part of what prayer is. And it's amazing. It's complex. It's multiple things. And so, building on last week, we want to learn more about what this means to step into the personal and the formative part of what prayer is. So, we want to learn to consider him who has gone before us, and learn to reflect upon him. So I'm going to walk us through a couple of major points of what prayer is when it comes to making time for him. And so the first one is this. Number one is time is the first step of faith with prayer. Time is the first step of faith with prayer. If you're going to pray, you're going to need to make time for this to happen. That is an act of faith where you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I just want you to know that it can and will feel strange at times because, you know, you're praying to what is unseen. But you're going to begin to do that. And so the first step of faith is really just blocking that out and beginning to do this. And then you want to have a plan, but you need time to consider him, to reflect upon who Christ is, and engage him. Prayer is not just about the actions and the words that you're saying. It's also about the time. So last week I talked about how we want to learn to pause, to start by pausing and being quiet. And that isn't easy to do. That's why we do this every week. We have prayer in silence. And for you today, when you engage in prayer silence, when I usually say, Father, we pray, is your brain just at ease or is your mind going crazy? Do you ever realize that? You know, you finally stop and then your brain just goes to work. It's like, oh, finally. Hey, and then you start thinking about anything and everything. And that's not easy to do. In the world of technology where we have phones in front of us and constant engagement, it is harder. I would say it's harder than ever for us to do this. And so maybe more than ever, it's a step of faith. Prayer takes time. And this is a habit that you're going to need to learn. But you set aside the time that you need and you begin to engage. And I want to encourage you to start small wherever you are at. And today we're going to talk about kind of two different ways in which you can have a plan for prayer. And you can start with 5 minutes. I've done this before where I set a timer through each thing that I work through, and I have found that it helps me focus. All of us have different personalities, and you want to find ways in which you are personally wired. You want to find times a day where you function better. Maybe it's the morning. Maybe it's at night, middle of the day, but find times where you know that you can engage in something that works with you. But eventually, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to do this. And that is the first step. You want to always take steps towards God. So prayer, it takes faith. And it takes time. Even if you don't believe in God, you can begin to take steps of faith. And I believe that he will meet you there. So take time. This week, what is time that you are going to give? Or set aside. You can begin to think about that today. If you took one step this week, it would be find a place and time to do this. It's essential for us to learn this. And then number two, prayer is a commitment. It is a commitment that we make. It's something that you need to do consistently. And do it as a rhythm of your life. Earlier in the year, I talked about, as we began the year, rhythms. And so prayer was one of them. I said at the time, we need to talk more about prayer. And so prayer is a rhythm that you want to incorporate into your life. So some of you are naturally, you know, you lean toward consistency into rhythms and you love it. My wife is like that. and others that, you know, like me, like I like to be all over the place, and so I have to work hard at developing new rhythms. And so you want to consistently come back to that and keep starting and keep aiming for consistency. And we talked about this in our dinner groups over the years, where you want to start with something you know that you can do. If you make it too big, you'll never be able to do it. But you need that time and commitment. One of the most formative times for myself personally that I look back upon when it comes to prayer was my junior year in high school. High school naturally is pretty emotional, and I had, you know, different things happening in my life, and I was a Christ follower, and I remember I was like, okay, I'm going to commit to pray. And I remember feeling a lack of peace and feeling anxious. And so I, with a purpose in mind, was to begin to specifically pray for peace in my life, in my family, in my home, in my school, in my relationships, and with all these other, you know, dynamics that were in my life. I remember the year before had been a struggle, and so I was like, every night I'm going to pray before I go to bed, and I'm going to do this for a year straight and just see what happens. And that was a commitment I made, and I remember being really hard. And I thought eventually I was going to, you know, feel natural. But I remember it took a long time where every night I'd be like, I don't want to do this. Every night it felt like that. But I remained committed and was consistent with it. And I was, for the most part, able to do that for about a year. And I remember going into my senior year in high school, the first day that it started was one of the worst days I can remember. I remember that, and it was like I had a fight with my family at home, and then other things happened with school, and it just got started off in a disastrous way. And I remember going to God and being like, God, I just prayed for a year, specifically with like peace and in everything in my world in mind. I remember feeling this way and being devastated. And I was looking to this one moment. But what was amazing was actually that year was the most peaceful year that I had had so far in school. And God actually did answer that prayer. It's hard for me to fully explain. But my GPA went up. My relationships were great. My relationships at home. And I began to see fruit begin to happen. And I had no idea, actually, but our youth pastor, I was a part of a church, and we had a youth pastor in a youth group that I was in. And that pastor went off to start another church. And so for a while, they did not have a pastor to lead that specific part of the church. And they asked me and a friend of mine to just help lead the group in the interim. As a senior in high school, I stepped into that. Had no idea that eventually I would be stepping forward as a pastor in the way that I am now. But how much was God working in my life at the time? And that year of prayer before, he was forming things in me, pulling me to his feet and preparing me for the year ahead. And I did see fruit. And I've never forgotten that. And it was a foundation for me for the rest of my life. It's a commitment. Now, I go in and out. Like I said, I'm not naturally a consistent person. There's many times I look back on that. I'm like, man, I was better at my rhythms at high school than I am even now. So I just want you to know that I struggle with that still to this day. I have to work at this. But we want to be reminded of this because of what it leads to. There's joy and there's a relationship that comes out of this. Now, when you make time, one thing that you're going to need is what I've been called a pad of distraction. Now, you may need actually something to write on, because if you have your phone with you, unless you've got great settings on it, you're going to get reminders and then it's all done. But whatever works best for you. So as you get alone and you take time, like I said, your brain is going to go on overdrive. And just learn to write things down so you can pick it up later. And so one thing we talked about last week that you can do when you pray, what do? Well, first is this, you pause. Take time, and then we can put this next slide up. Is that I would encourage you to read scripture, if you can. And then, Here are four things beyond that that you can do. You take a moment to give praise to God, adoration to Him, and then spend time in confession. As you think about your life, as you come before God, many times you think about, you know, I've not been a great person. You suddenly remember, like, interactions you've had. It's a great time to confess, be forgiven, and then pray for others. We call this intercession, where you're praying for others. And you can actually begin to make a list of things. And then pray for yourself. This is called supplication. You go to God and pray for yourself. Pray for things that you need, because He has told us to do this. We have a loving Father who knows us. But it's not just about us. Prayer is all of these things. You want to give time in adoration, thanksgiving, confession, pray for others, and for yourself. You could sit down for 5 minutes and give about 1 minute or so to each of these things. And that might seem so simple, but you can start that way. If you did 5 minutes a day for the entire year, that's a lot of minutes. I'm not good with math, so I won't tell you what that is. But it is a way to pray, and then you can go from there. Find times to pray and do this. Consistency and a rhythm. And what you will begin to discover is all these things that you were made to experience when you pray. And that leads us to the third and final thing is that prayer is about a relationship. Like I said in the beginning, and I talked about last week, we've always assumed prayer is about what we're praying to get. But as we've discovered, it's multifaceted. And at the core of all of it is bringing you into relationship with your loving, adoring Heavenly Father, who's done everything He can so that we might be able to be with Him. He came and gave of His life to take the punishment that we deserved so that we could be with Him. And so He pings us on our relationship heart phone. He says, "Where are you? Find my follower. And let's go to Him." So it's about this relationship. And that brings us back to the phrase where it says, "Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." In reflecting on my story in that time that I committed to a year, I can look back. And at the time, I was looking for peace in my life. And what was amazing was I did experience that. I began to see the fruit of those prayers. But I was praying specifically for what would happen and what would be answered for me. But what I didn't know, that there was a gift that I was discovering. And I eventually struggled with it. Eventually, as time went on, I went into college, and I went through some struggles and hard times, as like all of us do. And I remember thinking, what was the point of all that prayer? I had a moment where I thought that, because I was like, all of a sudden, God, I've prayed all these things, and here I am struggling again. And it was because, for me in my mind, prayer was about what I was going to get out of it. And what God was showing me and teaching me over time, that there was a better part of it. And that is experiencing Him and being in relationship with Him. And the more that time has gone along, I can see that I was developing a deep love for Christ and beginning to experience His love for me. And that will only happen when we take these steps of faith. Because that is the treasure that's out there. The life that is full that Jesus talked about. That there is a treasure on the other side, and that is experiencing His love for you and His grace for you, and how He doesn't come to condemn us, and how we begin to invite Him into the deeper, darker parts of our lives and allow His grace to change our heart the way only He can. And as time went along, I walked through hardships. And I was single for many years, and I in my pursuit of God and ultimately ministry, I was moving from different city to different cities. And I remember feeling very alone multiple times. And without even realizing it, I was beginning to drift into this habit of seeking Him in prayer. In those times when I felt very alone, didn't have many friends, and seeking Him. And I found this beauty and this strength of being able to know Him and experience Him. And when things didn't work out and I was suddenly in a different city, in a different state, and the answers wasn't what I was looking for, I went to Him and lamented it. And it was developing this relationship where I experienced Him. Beyond the answers, I am forever grateful for that. The gift is not the answer. It's Him. You need Him. You were made for Him. And so we learn to consider Him. How do we not grow weary and lose heart? We consider Him. We think about Him. We read about Him. We look at His life. You look at how Jesus prayed. It was so personal. He spent time praying. He's part of the Trinity. And what we discover is not this thing that you do and something that you repeat. He encourages not to repeat the same thing over and over again. No, it was a joy of His life. It was a natural part of what He did. And so a second way to engage God through prayer, and I want to end with this in the short time that I have, ways in which you can consider Him is through reflection and combining Scripture and prayer together. And I'm going to give you this formula, and you can write this down. If you want to, you can take a picture however you want to do it, but this, the TACS is just, it's not a good acronym at all. I just want to admit that right up front. Listen, you can create your own thing, but this is something that was given to me that I love doing. This is another thing you could put a timer on. Do 2 minutes each thing, whatever it may be. But you take a passage of Scripture in prayer, and you ask these four things. What is this Scripture teaching me? And then how can I praise God and give adoration to Him for it? What does this show me that I need to confess? And then what do I need to pray for about it? So let's just think about Jesus' prayer where He taught us what it means to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the King James Version. That's what we all memorized in high school or whatever it was. But how, you know, so we say, our God who is in heaven, how worthy is your name to be praised. Well, what is that teaching us? Well, T, what's the teaching? It means you don't pray by yourself. You are made to be in community. I'm just focusing on the word our. This is how simple it can be. You are made to be in community. You could remember a friend who helped you spiritually and know that I am not alone. And you can say, God, I praise you for that friend that you gave me that helped me be, you know, to get to know you better. Thank you for the community that I have. At GCC, we're passionate about you and helping create community here in this city. It's not easy to do. Our God, God, I thank you for that. Is there a sin to confess? So the teaching, and then acknowledge Him. So the teaching is, I skipped that part. Our Father, how, you know, so a teaching is we're made to be in community, okay? There's an hour. And then we praise God. How can I adore Him for this? And then C, is there a sin to confess? Well, we live in a very individualistic culture. And we want to go inward. And I can say to God, God, I'm afraid to tell people how I'm struggling right now. And I'm trying to handle it on my own, but you've made me to be in community. I confess that to you, that I've been prideful. I'm not letting other ends as you've asked me to do. That's a confession. And then supplication. What do you ask for? Lord, help me to find more opportunities to pray with people to engage others in community, to take these steps that I've been afraid to take. That took me 2 minutes to walk through, 2 or 3 minutes. You can do it really short, and that's just with one word, hour. Isn't that crazy? There's a way that we can read a scripture and engage God and reflect upon him. And it's a way to basically create meditation along with scripture reading and prayer. That's another tool. So we can pop it back up, T-A-C-S. This is a way that you can engage God. We start small. And this is how we consider him. If you are struggling, go to him. You want to make this a habit. These are just tools. There are many tools out there. There are different ways in which you can pray. You can do this in 5 minutes, and you can do this over 30. And it's a way to experience God. It takes time. This is not exactly prayer, and it's not a Bible study. It's kind of doing it both. But if you do this consistently, what you'll find is the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you and grab your heart. And that's when you want to write those things down. And it's amazing what you'll begin to discover, that you were made to pray, that you have a loving Father, and there's a treasure that you can find. So this is my challenge to you. To learn to take steps in faith and pray quickly. Next month, I'm going to challenge our church to do 1 month of prayer. We're going to do a 1 month prayer challenge. And we're going to introduce this. And so just in case you're gone next week, we're going to begin to do this. And we're working on a way to do that in a way that we can record it together. But I want you, even if it's very simple, to begin to discover the treasure that we have in Christ in this. You were made for this. So, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for your words to us and your love for us. And I pray that in faith that we would, even when it's uncomfortable, take steps of faith towards you that you have asked us to do. May we experience the beauty and the treasure that you've made us to discover, not just in answers that may or may not come, but in you that is always there. God, thank you for this, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.